From the central coast of California, across the nation and around the world, bringing you conscious living through positive thinking. It's time to turn the lead in your life into gold. It's Good Vibrations Radio on Radio Monterey.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibration. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio will bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. And what a great time to turn it into gold. We are coming back from our solstice. We are returning to the light. We are getting ready to be reborn. And to lead us on that journey, we've got our special segment host today, Joyce Muse. Now, Joyce is an ordained metaphysical minister who's been practicing the ancient art of astrology from modern times for many years. She combines an extensive knowledge of the correlation between the planets and human cycles, coupled with her natural rapport, compassion, humor, and understanding of the challenges and opportunities of life. She shares her understanding of astrology for dealing with life's problems with a very large following of loyal clients through phone or Skype calls. And she also uses tarot cards and psychic awareness to answer any questions or concerns that may seem outside of the influence of the planets. Now, her greatest pleasure in life is helping people find understanding, clarity, and hope about their current situations, families, and relationships. Not all astrologers are created equal, and Joyce Muse will fulfill your highest expectations with her astrological guidance, and we are lucky to have her here on the fourth Thursday of every month. So let's listen to Joyce Muse and your lucky stars. Welcome, Joyce.
Thank you, Solazar. Happy to be here. Well, I'm sure you've noticed the retrograde Mercury cycle that we're in. It's kind of hard to miss. So it turned retrograde on Monday, the 19th. And it'll stay retrograde until January 9th. So classically, retrograde Mercury kind of turns everything upside down and inside out. It's when communications are flawed and miscommunications are easy. And if something can go wrong, it will go wrong, it seems like. And this one has been a little more dicey than usual, in my opinion, because Mercury is conjuncting the planet Pluto.
Mm.
So it's not just your 3 to 4 times a year retrograde Mercury. It's definitely being intensified by its conjunction to the planet Pluto. Now, Pluto is transformation and change, endings and new beginnings, death and rebirth. So Mercury conjunct Pluto is doing its best to shake us loose and help us find the core essence of what's important in life. So that's going on. But if you're having a bit of a rough time, you're not alone, believe me. I mean, I've never had such a difficult entrance into retrograde Mercury. My husband fell off a log, literally. He's okay, except he has a back injury. And then he was putting up the tree yesterday, and I was in the office with the door shut, and he screamed like he had fallen. The tree almost fell. And I fell trying to get to him.
Oh, gosh.
So it's just like, you know, one thing after another, and falling was a part of it. So I'm trying to be a little bit extra careful on this retrograde Mercury cycle, knowing that it's over January 9th. But it's best to keep your sense of humor, not take things too seriously, and just do your best. Don't expect to be as good as you usually are at things you're usually used to doing. So there's that. And probably the big deal transit we're having with the outer planet is the planet Jupiter, the lucky planet of opportunity and expansion, is making an exact opposition to the planet Uranus. Now, this has been going on and off this whole previous year. It's exact right now, and it won't be done with us until the fall. But right now, it's exact. So Jupiter expansion, Uranus, sudden, unexpected change. So that kind of explains the falling my husband and I are doing. But, you know, it's just an expansion of sudden and unexpected events. And of course, the last 5 years we've had Uranus square Pluto, and they won't be exactly square again, but they're close enough. They're only 4 degrees from an exact square. So this Jupiter coming along to oppose Uranus is also setting off the dynamic tension between the revolutionary planet Uranus and the transformative planet Pluto, and we're throwing retrograde Mercury in because it's part of the problem. So the best news I heard about Uranus-Jupiter opposition means it's the downfall of a leader. So I'm counting on it.
Well, but unfortunately, you know, I saw an article today from Newt Gingrich who said Obama's legacy will be wiped out in a year. So, unfortunately, it could be that leader.
Well, it could be. But this Uranus-Pluto isn't over until when? I mean, we have 2 years left with Uranus and Aries.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then, and the Jupiter thing will end when Jupiter changes sign, and that will be in when it goes into Scorpio, not until the fall.
Okay, all right.
So Jupiter and Uranus are still going to be opposing each other in the summer.
So
it will be exact again in August.
So I hope for your hope then.
So the only big changes in the planets, of course, the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars move quickly, and, you know, they move through all the signs, I mean, Mercury and Venus and the Sun in a year, but Mars is 2 years, Jupiter is 12 years, Saturn is 29 years. And Uranus goes through all of the signs in 84 years. You know, Neptune is over 200, Pluto's over 200, like 250. So it's the inner planets that change signs and move quickly and don't spend as much time at one point that they'll do serious harm to us. But Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto do. You know, Saturn spends 2.5 years in a sign. It's in Sagittarius. It's been in Sagittarius for about a year and a half. It's got a year to go. So now in 2017, Saturn's going to do the second half of the sign, Sagittarius. Now, Saturn, like everything, is a double-edged sword. It does have its good side. So Saturn in Sagittarius asks us to be more focused and grounded and not so mutable and changeable philosophically and in other ways. But Saturn in Sagittarius is doing its thing, and it's actually in harmony with Uranus. So, you know, what was that book that, you know, this is the best of times, this is the worst of times.
Yeah, Tale of Two Cities.
Right, Tale of Two Cities, thank you. So that's kind of what we're experiencing. I mean, those of us who are not Trump supporters are suffering, you know, just more than I've ever seen in my long life over the election of a so-called president. But this is unprecedented.
Well, several of the things that I've run across, and I think what you're sharing kind of emphasizes that, is that those who aren't Trump supporters are not feeling bad about losing. It's not the loss. It's just, how could our country have elevated this person?
Right.
And that doesn't go away. We've lost elections before, everybody. But this is so extreme. It's really like saying, let's bring in the foxes and let them guard the hen house from inside.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what half the country wanted. You know, the half the country that voted for him. And I don't believe he won without the interference of the Russians.
Well, and the other thing that's very big, and Greg Palast is big on this, and will not get looked at for at least 4 years, we know, is the Republican states that used the cross-state cross-check system. For instance, Michigan took 350,000 people off the rolls by using the state cross-check. So if there was a Bill Wells in Virginia and a Bill Wells in Michigan, even if the dates of birth were different or the middle initials were different, they took them off the rolls. And Trump won Michigan by 10,000 votes.
Right.
So 300. And now if I were Bill Wells and I showed up to vote, they would give me a provisional ballot, which never gets counted. But I don't know that.
Oh. Well, that's a shame. Yeah.
So I think that there was cross-check, there was the Russians, we were all so tired of hearing about emails. If somebody even spelled email one more time, we probably all would have had our heads popped. There was just so many factors all at once that really influenced it. And I'm like you, I don't believe he won by the legitimacy of the processes in place. But I don't believe he won.
Right. But we've got to live with what we've got to live with, however long it lasts, and hopefully it won't last too long.
And of course, you're hoping it'll be shorter than it appears to be.
Of course I am.
Get to work, honest.
I've had plenty of rough times in my life and times where I woke up worrying about one thing or another. But for the last few months, I've been waking up worrying about Trump.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh my God. I mean, I've never had such a, you know, external factor causing me to lose sleep.
It's a PTSD. It's a form of PTSD.
Yeah.
You know, it truly is. And the country's going through it. And so I think there's an interesting aspect when you talked about also, we still have that Uranus-Pluto square is still playing with each other. You said Uranus is in Aries for 2 more years. That's what you said.
Right.
Yeah. And I think we're going to expect the unexpected for a couple of years.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, Pluto square Uranus has caused so much upheaval and change over the last, since 2010, really. It's been in orb since 2011, and this is the end of 2016. So 2017, that'll be 6 years we've been dealing with the Uranus-Pluto square. And boy, are we going to be glad when it's over. But right now, every time another planet comes along and hits either Uranus or Pluto, it sets it off again.
Yeah.
You know, I was optimistic that we were through with it, but obviously we're not.
And just the other day, I was thinking, Joyce, with all the, you know, because you were always very strong about us trying to understand the Uranus-Pluto square, its impact. And I think the problem I had is I kept expecting the wrong outcome. The Uranus-Pluto square did exactly what the Uranus-Pluto square was expected to do. It's just the outcome was so different than what I thought it was going to be for myself. And it, I mean, we are seeing it here. This whole thing with Trump is the Uranus-Pluto square magnified, in my opinion. This is it. This is the revolution. This is the upheaval. This is what we came to expect and know being torn apart.
That's right. And
my goodness. Astonishing.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we survived Nixon. We survived both Bushes. You know, I mean, they weren't as bad as this. And you're right. I mean, he could inflict tremendous damage, already has, on our country. And this talk about nuclear weapons and we need more nuclear weapons. I mean, what kind of crazy talk is that?
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know. The insanity, it really is. There's a movie I saw not long ago. The name escapes me, but I won't go into it. But a doctor shows up at this asylum, and it turns out what he doesn't know is that the inmates have taken over the asylum and they're running it.
Right.
And the staff are locked downstairs in cells and stuff like that. And that's, I think, where we've actually come to in this country. You said a couple of months ago, we needed to laugh at Trump. And I think we still need to laugh at Trump.
Right.
But we have to understand, they're going to be in power in a month. But we still need to laugh at him. We need to fight against what he does that's wrong. But we need to laugh about it because he is a clown. He is a caricature. You know, he's not somebody that by any way, shape, or form in my belief system that he deserves any respect from anyone for anything.
I know. I mean, I certainly don't respect him. And, you know, it's interesting that the chart of the USA, the USA's Mars is right on Trump's sun. And Saturn right now is right on his moon, exactly. Mm. So, and Saturn's opposing his sun. But this character, this Trump guy, he has Uranus on his sun, Uranus opposite his moon, and he's very Uranian. You know, he changes his mind. He says one thing one day, something else the next day. You know, you can't pin him down, and you don't know what to expect from him. And that's all very, very Uranian. So in the Uranus-Pluto square, he's Uranus. And the USA is having a Pluto opposition.
Mm.
Pluto is exactly opposite the sun in the USA chart. So to me, he is also Plutonian. He's Pluto. He's Pluto opposite the sun. It's like they say he's wants to be a strong man. You know, Pluto is definitely the dictator, the strong man, the rigid, controlling power monger. So, you know, that's what we got. And I guess the country is getting what it deserves, you know, because the people voted for him, or half the people did. That's the thing. We're so split between, you know, left and right, Republican, Democrat, you're wrong, I'm right, you know, I'm wrong, you're right. It's so dualistic. And I think he gets a kick out of it.
Well, I think a big part of that, I blame, actually, he does. I blame a large part of that on Newt Gingrich, the guy who's still running his mouth. When he was speaker, he was the first speaker that I believe in my lifetime that made it his kind of you're with us or against us to the president. You know, in that time it was Bill Clinton. But he drew this hard line that it has to be either what we want or you're not going to get what you want. And that's now been followed and magnified by each Republican speaker that's followed by Mitch McConnell as both minority and majority leader. And it wasn't echoed when Pelosi was speaker for those 2 years during when Bush was president. It wasn't echoed. She didn't say that to President Bush.
No. You
know, but this whole idea of, I don't believe that even with two parties that there has to be this polarity, but it goes right back to this Uranus-Pluto square, in my opinion. It's been building all that time. It's the idea of what worked now no longer works.
Right.
So what we're going to end up with, I don't know. I don't know. But Joyce, I have to tell you that I feel hopeful, but it's not pipe dream. And I don't mean hopeful like, well, maybe Trump will be a good president. I don't expect him to be anything close to a good president.
No.
I don't expect his administration to be anything close to a good administration. I think they're going to create havoc and difficulty and challenges for people in our country. I believe that. But for some reason, and maybe it's just a chemical imbalance, I feel hopeful that it's going to lead us to a new way. We're going to find our answer. We just don't have it now.
Right. Well, I kind of agree with that. I keep getting this image of like, you know, the country's been turned over and exposed, and all the dark, creepy, crawly things are showing that have always been there but weren't overt. And now we get to see the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
You know, we get to see what's wrong with our country. Instead of pretending like, you know, we're the best country on the planet Earth, you know, we're number one, you know, we're not. I mean, we've got a lot of things wrong with us that need to be corrected. And, you know, hopefully the heroes are going to come out. And some of them have, that stand up, you know, to be counted, to fight against injustice and unfairness. So hopefully that's what we're going to see.
I think so, too. I think we've, here's what I believe, and so this is part of my hope, as I think we've been too passive for too long. We've accepted things. And so it's the boiling frog syndrome. You know, you put the frog in the pot of water, you turn the heat on, and it slowly boils to death because
right.
The heat increases gradually and the frog never jumps out from discomfort.
Right.
I think we've been going through that, and this was a wake-up call to a lot of people because all of what I see through social media that I'm really pretty much on Facebook, what I see through there is a lot of people who are pretty much speaking out. They're not sitting back passively. At the other time, I'm going to say something really terrible, Joyce. I have to say
it. Okay.
I am so grateful I don't have to hear any more about Hillary Clinton and emails.
Right.
You know, now I don't mean that really toward Hillary. I am so grateful. It's so terrible that Trump is president-elect, but I'm so grateful I don't have to hear more about that. I realized, too, that was like a weight, like the albatross on the neck of the Ancient Mariner. You know, it's just weighing us down, and we probably didn't even know it was there.
I know. Did you see that thing on Facebook someone put up? Well, it's a good thing we didn't elect somebody who had, you know, their own email server in their basement. You know, that would have been the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I do agree with that. I do agree with that cynicism and sarcasm. Absolutely. There's no question about that. We made such a big mistake here, but I actually, think what we've exposed, and this is the going back again to that Uranus Pluto, like you said, that underbelly being seen. What we've exposed is this belief within a core element of the United States of predominantly white people that felt like, one, they were being ignored, their rights were being taken away, and no one was listening to them. And in interviews that I've seen since then, many people, Trump voters, very often didn't believe a lot of what he said anyway.
Right.
But what they did is they latched on to whatever belief or whatever phrase he said that supported their belief system, and then they ignored everything else he said. So
right.
Some of them are waking up to the fact of, no, he actually meant some of that stuff. And
well,
they're
going to lose. They're losing out.
Yeah. And, you know, recently I saw, and I don't know, maybe this is just all me. Maybe this is all this revelation and stuff. But I recently rewatched the movie Thurgood. With Lawrence Fishburne doing the one-man play as Thurgood Marshall. And I started realizing in my lifetime, I went through the arc of civil rights, of believing we were moving forward. And what actually happened, in my opinion, is that there was a whole, this is the substrata, the Trump voter now. They felt like their views were being pushed below. So they weren't adapting to the fact that there should be equality for all. They were acting like these people just don't want to hear my view. And so that became that undercurrent of anger that also led to a lot of votes for Trump, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So we lost the town.
Yeah. That's, we're just losing the best president we've ever had, in my opinion.
I agree with
you. And getting the worst. I mean, talk about duality.
And you had previously said that President Obama's chart really mapped or matched nicely to the chart of the U.S. Of course, he's a Leo. So
right.
He had, if I recall, he had that Leo sun. But
yeah.
There's nothing, even when you talk about Donald Trump's chart, that sounds like there's nothing but challenges with him against the chart. This is like a match made in hell to begin with. Even if we had voted for him, astrologically, it ain't a good match.
Well, he does line up with the USA's Mars. His son is the Mars of the USA, which scares me for war.
Yeah, for war.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just puts him front and center for war. And like you said,
yeah.
With the nuclear weapons, we need more nuclear weapons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how many times can we destroy the planet?
I know. I know. I mean, we might be the refugees running through North America seeking asylum in Canada or Mexico.
Yeah. So now that we've brought everybody down.
Is there any hope?
Yeah. Do you see any light? I mean, we've had our solstice. We have our sun in Capricorn.
Yeah.
It's determined. It's persistent. It's a good time to start taking action in our lives, but what can we see going forward into 2017 for these last few minutes you're with us?
Well, you know, Jupiter's going to stay where it is until October. Saturn's going to stay where it is until December 2017. So I don't see those two energies aren't shifting that much. Neptune's staying where it's at. So Uranus, Pluto, Saturn, and Neptune are not changing before October.
Well, except now Uranus goes direct next week, though, right?
Yes, 29th. Uranus goes direct, which is helpful, you know, for more, you know, good for a lot of action taking place around the inauguration.
Yeah.
I think the inauguration is really going to be a bust.
Well,
so, you know, I don't see a lot of dramatic changes. Of course, we'll be moving into the year of the rooster.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll, people want to crow a lot.
Yeah, but and, it's also a fire rooster. It's a red rooster. I mean,
yeah.
So it is action-oriented for those who want to take. And I still think that's it for all of us, Joyce. We've got to be willing to take an action. We've got to not sit back and go into our caves and bury our head in the sand.
Yeah. Uranus is going direct next Wednesday, it looks like. So that's good. Although, you know, it could stir things up.
Yeah.
But the thing I noticed with the, you know, the Trump guy is, you know, he just wants to suck up the attention. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. You know, if people like him or people hate him, he just wants the attention.
Yeah, as long as it's about him.
But, you know, his cabinet's going to get in there and not know what the hell they're doing. And it seems like Obama's putting a lot of things in place that he won't be able to change.
Well, the other thing that I heard Obama say is that he's going to be in D.C. for the next 2 years. And he's told Trump that he is available for any kind of conference, consultation, discussions, or anything else. Now, I don't think McConnell and crew will care for that. But I do believe that if Trump at least will connect with him, that President Obama is a man of integrity. He wants what's best.
Right.
He doesn't want him to do what he would do necessarily. He wants him to do something that would be best for the country, though, no matter what he does.
Yes, I agree. And he also said he's going to work on the... realigning the districts to not be so...
The gerrymandering?
Gerrymandering, yeah. That's one of his projects, which I feel really good about that, because that's why we have such a stupid Republican Congress.
Yeah.
Not that all Republicans are stupid, but to have...
Well,
you know.
I don't know. When you look at Jeff Sessions, you know... That other one who's who heads up the science committee. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry.
It's ridiculous.
We have, through the use of ignorance and through the use of, I'm sorry, unfortunate religious beliefs that refute science, we are raising an ignorant culture. We have a whole segment that is just ignorant. And many of them are in Congress. Some of them are in Congress.
Yeah. A lot of them, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we've got to keep our hope, because whenever the pendulum swings one way, then it swings the other way.
It's got to come back. I agree with you. We just have to be hopeful and survive.
Yeah, and also keep our sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know, if we're angry all the time, if we're depressed all the time, we're not going to accomplish much. You know, I think we have to keep our sense of humor and keep our spirits up, you know, and align with, you know, like-minded people and do our best, you know, to fight all these negative things that could happen, that probably will happen.
Yeah, and fine. Go ahead.
I'm optimistic that things will change quickly. I mean, I can't see even the Republicans putting up with his idiocy for long. I'm sure they'd much rather have Pence in, someone who, you know, believes like a Republican. I mean, Trump isn't even really a Republican.
No.
He's more of a spoiler.
You know,
and for some reason that appealed to a certain segment of our country.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't know why they didn't like the country being well managed. It's a management position. It's not a sales position. It's not a deal-making position. It's a management, administration position. You need someone with some brains.
Well, many of those people also who voted for him, as we know, they're Fox News watchers. And many of them believe a lot of falsehoods. You know, they believe that President Obama created the entire deficit. Many of them believe, you know, unemployment's gone up since President Obama took over instead of down. Many of them believe the stock market has hurt with President Obama. And it's, you know, at 19,000. Whoever believed it would get that high for those that are fortunate to have the investments. But, I mean, so they have a false sense of what the real condition of the country is.
Yeah.
And I actually know of people who went from being Bernie Sanders supporters to being Trump voters. And honestly, out of everybody in the mix, I can't wrap my mind around that one. I really can't.
I know.
So I'm just like you. I'm just trying to be hopeful. I believe we have a wonderful confluence of energies going forward that allow us to still make our personal space something that is livable, manageable, and allows us to keep moving forward for the greater good. That's what I believe.
Right. And, you know, if you're as old as I am, you remember the 60s, you know, and it was kind of fun to fight against the forces of stupidity and ignorance.
Yes, it was.
So we get to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's because all those people protesting, everybody took their eye off the ball because they thought it was done.
Right.
And the other forces said, we got to prevent that from ever happening again. So now we're back.
Yep.
Well, yeah, Joyce, I know you have to go. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, let's stay optimistic and hope for positive things. I mean, positive things always happen when you least expect them.
I think our time is, I told this to Kira at one point on one of the shows. I'll just repeat it. I think our time right now is the major arcana card of the 16. It's the Tower.
Right.
And it's the point of from scorched earth, new life grows. We don't know where the scorching's coming. We don't know how much scorching's going to happen. But new life is going to come from this. And we just have to keep that in mind.
I think that's true. That's a good image. I like that image. I'm going to keep that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Salazar. Thanks so much for having me on.
What a pleasure. Big hugs. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Kwanzaa.
Happy Solstice.
That's the one.
Yep.
All right.
Well, take care.
Thanks, Joyce. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Joyce Muse. You can go to Pacific Astrology on Facebook. Go to Facebook, put in Pacific Astrology to get to Joyce's Facebook page, and you can connect with her that way. Fabulous readings, fabulous astrological readings and insights that she can give you. Really, truly, one of my all-time favorites. I'm a big fan of her work. Now, I know a lot of what we collectively just discussed was more about what's at play here, but it's at play because of these influences that Joyce is talking about. And that Uranus-Pluto square that Joyce mentioned from 2010, remember when that started, that went through a series of 7 squarings throughout the years, several of them exact. But the real point of that Uranus-Pluto square is that, remember, Uranus is about change. It's about originality. It's about revolution. It's about upsetting the apple cart. And then you have Pluto, which is about transformation and power. So with those two playing around with us still, what we're seeing is, of course, all the obstruction that went on against President Obama. Our change was having him as president. But you know what he did? He didn't do it by his actions. He did it by his being. He reignited the dormant racism that lay underneath the belly of this country that we didn't see. We, as I don't know about you, but you know, I'm essentially a white person. I don't see it like that. I'm not seeing this going on. I'm not living as a person of color. So what I was mentioning to Joyce was about Thurgood, the HBO movie with Lawrence Fishburne playing Thurgood Marshall, who was a Supreme Court Justice, a black Supreme Court Justice. But Thurgood Marshall was engaged in civil rights from the time he became a lawyer. And he was the one that went to the Supreme Court and argued the case of Brown versus the Board of Education. And a month after I was born, in 1954, in May 1954, the Supreme Court came back and unanimously agreed that state laws creating segregated schools were unconstitutional and harmed the rights and images of the individuals involved. And President Eisenhower was president at that time, and he was asked what he thought about that ruling. And his response was, "I don't have an opinion one way or the other." So at the moment in time when one man could have even said something that would have had great credibility to a huge portion of the country, he didn't say anything. It was only toward the tail end of his second term as president did President Eisenhower suddenly get engaged in civil rights. Now, we had a Civil Rights Act of 1957, which was to guarantee everyone the right to vote. Then we had 61, which was the act that said the federal government could oversee the registration of voters to make sure that people weren't being denied their right to vote. And then, of course, we had the Great Act of 64, which came about because John F. Kennedy wanted to ensure the rights of all people. And then he was assassinated in 1963, but Lyndon Johnson, a Southern Democrat from Texas, fought hard and made that law pass in 1964. Lyndon Johnson did that. Now, here's what happened, and I think this is critical that we all remember it. Lyndon Johnson, the South was Democratic. Why was the South Democratic? Because Lincoln was a Republican. The South was Democratic. So those Southern Dixiecrats, those Southerners were all Democratic. And Johnson arm twisted and pushed and prodded and got their votes. But you know what that did? And we can look back now and see it. That lost the South for the Democratic Party. They became Republicans over time. Those that voted got voted out. Some got to stay around. Some switched parties. So what now happened is the idea that we fought in the Civil War, which was states' rights, it was, of course, anti-slavery, but it was states' rights. The Southern states were saying those states had the right to decide what they needed to do for commerce. Keeping in mind that even for our founding fathers, slavery was an issue of property, not personhood. They weren't people. That was property. So the states in the South were fighting for states' rights. They had the economy. They couldn't do their cotton. They couldn't sell their agriculture overseas without the labor provided from the slaves. I'm not standing up for them. I'm saying that's their ironclad position. And for them, it was an issue of states' rights. Now what happens? In Brown versus the Board of Education, 1954, almost 100 years later, after the end of the Civil War, which ended in 1864, almost 100 years later, the Supreme Court says states cannot have laws on the books that determine that people of color go to different schools than people who are not of color. Once again, it starts to become an issue of states' rights. Then they say in 57, They can't have separate voting laws that keep people from being able to register to vote. Then they say in 61 that the federal government could come in and look at your process and also come to your polling places and make sure people are being given their rights to vote. What you now have is a new states' right initiative being fought. And there were many, many other steps, but it went underground. But you know what happened in the last 20 years? Those issues surfaced again. Even when some of those issues ended up at our Supreme Court, we had the overly intelligent and massively ignorant Scalia, who, in my opinion, was one of the most ignorant Supreme Court justices in my lifetime. Not because he wasn't intelligent, he was. But he used his intelligence to create bigotry. He used his intelligence to deny you rights. He did not use his intelligence to interpret law to give the greatest benefit for all. He used it to make sure he kept people from getting benefits under the law. That is ignorant. But he browbeat, and I believe wrote the majority opinion for Against the Voters' Rights Act, that the states that needed to be monitored because they had a history of denying people the right to vote, he said that racism no longer existed. We could take that away. What did that do? That returned rights to the states, rights that the federal government oversaw to ensure equality to all. Just like with Citizens United, what did Citizens United do? It actually said that a corporation could spend as much money as it wants to support candidates or put up ads against the candidate, a corporation. They made the declaration in the Supreme Court that money is speech. Well, that's bullshit, because if money is speech, it means we can never have equal speech, because speech represented by money becomes greater based on the more money you have. The less money you have less speech. The more money you have more speech. Therefore, that was another rule that took big business, corporations, and put them in charge of forcing our election process to be something out of the control of the people before it was controlled. So the things that happened through the Uranus-Pluto square during 2010 coming forward were the actions that were taken and it fought by states, Republican states, fought by those states to return rights to the state, to make people believe that the federal government was overreaching when what the federal government was doing was providing a base of equality, an umbrella to make sure Alabama didn't deny you your right to register and vote, that Mississippi didn't deny you your right to go to a school, that it was giving you those rights. What the Republicans did, led by the, remember, these are the old Southern Democrats that are now Republicans, led by them. They came out with this whole concept and idea that people were takers and taking and taking and taking. Do you know in West Virginia, there is a county, it's an all-white county, and it is the largest dense population of people receiving food stamps and welfare, and they're all white. It is not something that the blacks and the immigrants and the indigent that are just draining from us take away. In every system and every process, there will always be people who take advantage of that system. A good example is our congressmen and senators who constantly give themselves pay raises at the same time that they're not giving cost of living adjustments to Social Security people or to the military. You know, it's interesting. President Obama constantly put forward budgets that would give raises to the military and everything else, and Republicans kept ensuring that his budgets were declined. And so what did they then do with that? They turned around and said, by the way, you know, the president doesn't seem to care about our military because he doesn't give them raises. They twisted it around. Let me give you another example so that you're familiar with this. Is that the Affordable Care Act had provisions for 10 years to protect the increase of the premiums for that health care. But Marco Rubio led an initiative to put in the Omnibus Reconciliation Act, which was used to fund the government after it almost defaulted, a provision that took away that provision of the Affordable Care Act. Therefore, the government no longer offsets premium increases based on losses that the insurance companies have because there's not enough people buying insurance or there's too many people buying insurance who are using the care. What did that do? That resulted in all these premium increases that they spent the last year in the Republican primaries and Trump talking about how terrible the Affordable Care Act is because look at how all these premiums are going up. They created it and then blamed the originator of the act that had built in a protective provision. The other thing is, don't buy the bullshit. The Affordable Care Act, when reviewed as laid out by the government accounting office, when it was laid out before Republicans slipped in changes, was budget neutral. What did that mean? Meant it paid for itself. It's not part of our deficit. Neither is Social Security. Neither is Medicare. Those programs are funded. The dollars that come in are used to buy government bonds. Government bonds are the safest investment in the United States because they're backed by the U.S. Treasury. They're 100% guaranteed. The money that comes in buys government bonds, so they are always funded going forward. So this whole idea that's being sold that they are going to run out of money is based on several premises that are not economically true. So what is all my tirade about as we come off of this solstice, we return to the light, we prepare for Hanukkah, we prepare for Christmas, we prepare for Kwanzaa, we prepare for our new year. My tirade is about be informed. Don't be one of the ignorant uninformed like the people who voted for Trump. They voted based on bigotry. They voted based on ignorance. They voted based on parochial interests of wanting to impose their will on you. For instance, the evangelicals who want to support Trump so they can repeal the right of a woman to choose. Because they look at the right of a woman to choose as if it infringes on them. They come up against science to say that having that abortion at 20 weeks or 24 weeks is murder. It's not. It's not technically. It's not scientifically. It's not legally. That's the whole point. Those statutes were established based on science, not fraud, not false understandings, not false movies that were created. So when you get ready to go through your holiday, two things. Don't have political discussions with your family. Just do not have them. Not at all. That's one. And two, be hopeful and be ready to stand up for those who need your support at the time they need your support. If somebody is being put down publicly by someone else, stand up for that person. Don't let a person of color or an immigrant or anything else be bullied by the forces of racism and nationalism that are coming out from the fringe groups. Allow yourself to be that person of integrity you wanted to see as a person who led our country. Our country is best when the best of us is in charge, when the best of us are leading us, when the best of us are role modeling for us, so we have something to look up to. As Joyce and I mentioned before she left, for me, Barack Obama represented the best of what the U.S. has to offer in his dignity, his integrity, and his class. And so did Michelle Obama. And those people who saw fit to impose their racist views toward them, to denigrate them, to put them down. Remember, when someone calls you a name, they define themselves. They don't define you. For those who listen to the show all the time, remember that every day in December is a preview of what's coming up. Today is a preview of May 8th through 14th in 2017. What you experienced, what you went through, was all in demonstration of what's coming forward. If you had some challenge or some issue, know that you're going to have that challenge and issue later and find the best way to deal with it. But every night in every way, make sure that you go forward and go to sleep, as a being of divine light, as a person of divine light. Because I wanted to give Joyce the time, I didn't do Day by Day with James Allen, so I'm going to close with it now. James Allen wrote his book to remind us that our future is not predestined. Our future is something we create every day in the habits and beliefs that we form and the actions we take as a result. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his essay, As a Man Thinketh, has been carved up into a little section for each day of the month. And for today, the 22nd day of the month, he tells us to create your own circumstances. A person only begins to become the person he wants to be when he ceases to whine and revile and commences to search for the hidden justice which regulates his life. George Bernard Shaw said, people are always blaming their circumstances for what they are. I don't believe in circumstances. The people who get on in the world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want, and if they can't find them, they make them. We talked about Trump and his whining and his bitching and his moaning. Make him the role model of what you don't want to be. Look at him and say, I can be a person of light by not being that. And remember, enlightenment doesn't mean you don't see the realities of the world. It means you see them and choose to operate in a way that is enlightened as a being of light. And every day I look at my daily word, which comes from unity. And it gives me a message for that day. And today's message is intuition guides my way. And for those of you who celebrate Christmas, but anyway, all of us will have a Sunday. The daily word says, I am one with the spirit of faith, peace, love, and joy. Make that your mantra for the closure of this month. And remember also what James Allen says for the 25th. Believe it's possible. Belief is the basis of all action. And this being so, the belief that dominates the heart or mind is shown in life. Believe it's possible. Create your own circumstances. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. We'll be back live again on Tuesday with Kirilani and Go With The Flow. And as we close out, I'm going to close out with this Hanukkah solstice song to remind us this is the season of light and we're returning to the light.
Turning, turning spirits, yeah.